Father, thank you for your word to us, that even though you're holy, separate from us, you've given us your word to be here amongst us, your very words in your word. Please help us to understand this as we read from Psalm 14 and later Romans chapter 3 and think about them a little bit later on. Amen. For the director of music of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord, but they are overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Romans 3, verses 9 to 22, and can be found on page 1130 in the Church Bibles. Romans 3, 9 to 22. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. And we pray that as we think about it for the next few minutes, you would teach us maybe new things that we didn't know before, or teach us more deeply the things that we already did know. Please help us to hear your voice, and please help us to be those who cling fast to you. Amen. I don't know if you've heard of the Darwin Awards. The Darwin Awards are awarded each year, and they're awarded to people who have done such stupid, foolish things that might have seemed a bit funny at the time, but it's led to their mortal demise. It's full of fools. They go back some years now, and it's a litany of people who have been foolish. And we can all think of foolish things, can't we, that we might have done in the past, or we've been aware of other people doing or saying. Here in Psalm 14, though, and do turn back to it on page 549, if you need to turn back to that, The psalmist here, God through the psalmist, says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. What does God think a fool is? God thinks a fool is somebody who says there is no God. However intellectually capable they might be, however nice and lovely they might be, however worldly wise they might seem, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the idea of the word fool here isn't the clown. Fool here has a sense of moral failings, the morally foolish, the morally culpable, says in their hearts, there is no God. The psalmist unfolds that in the second half of that first verse. They are corrupt. What does corrupt mean? Corrupt means they're dishonest. How are they dishonest? Because God has made it plain that he exists. Just look at creation with a little bit of common sense, and you can't but know there is something more. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Their deeds are vile. If we have no God, we have no moral compass, and anything is fine, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, or, well, maybe it doesn't matter if it hurts anybody else, because there's no God watching. There is no one who does good, God says through the psalmist. That is fairly straight, isn't it? There is no one who does good. What? No one? Nobody at all? Not a single person who does good? That's what the skeptic would ask about that question, isn't there? Nobody who does any good. If it was just the psalmist who was saying this by himself without the words of God, we would have to hold that in balance, wouldn't we? But look at verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind. The idea of looking down there is looking down as judge. He's using his eyes, so to speak, to see, to examine all humanity. He looks down from heaven on all mankind. Do you know that God can see us all the time? We can't hide from him. We can't get away from him anywhere. For a very short, very silly period of time, I used to think if I went down to the London Underground, I couldn't pray because I was too far away from God. God can see us. I got over that within about 2 weeks, maximum. God can see us even in the London Underground. If we trained to be an astronaut, I don't know who's planning on doing that, but if we trained to be an astronaut, God could see us if we managed to fly and be the first person to land on Venus or wherever. God can see us everywhere. He looked down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Is there anybody at all who's going to, in and of themselves, start looking for this God, any God? Is anybody going to look for the God? And God sees this, verse 3, all have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. God looked down from heaven looking for a single person who does good, a single person who in and of themselves recognized that he was there and said, yes, there is a God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not a single person. The rhetorical question, do these evildoers know nothing? Well, the answer is yes, isn't it? They know nothing. Absolutely nothing. They are fools. We are fools before something happens. All are fools, morally corrupt. All follow in the footsteps of Adam, all are those who are full of sin, full of corruption, full of walking away from God. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and were told they could eat anything they liked from the garden, except that one fruit, they turned their back on God and they said, right, I'm going to eat it. And they did. They were corrupt. And so sin entered the world. And so all human beings after them were born into sin, unable to look for God, and also unwilling to look for God. And so the result is they devour God's people by as if they were just eating bread. The picture there isn't of cannibalism, it's a picture language of just getting what they want. They never call upon the Lord, ever. But they're overwhelmed with dread. How often are we aware that those very people who think they're the big man or the strong woman, actually, they're petrified of life, petrified of death, petrified of anything else, so hide behind a shell. Where is God? God is present in the company of the righteous. But hang on, David, who wrote this psalm, hang on. You just said, using God's words, God speaking through you, that nobody seeks after God. Therefore, nobody can be righteous. But God is present in the company of the righteous. How does that work? That's a square circle right there in front of us. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. How can the Lord be the refuge of those who don't seek after him, who are fools, who turn their back on him? How does that work? Another square circle. And so the cry of verse 7. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. Would somebody save people, please? Would God save people because they can't save themselves? And when the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. We're left with almost like a hopeless feeling, aren't we? A hopeless feeling of nobody can turn to God, ever. Nobody wants to, nobody will, nobody can. That's where the psalm ends. But it's not where the Bible ends. Romans 3, the Apostle Paul in Romans 3 quotes this psalm. End of verse 10, do turn, keep your finger in Psalm 14 and turn forward to Romans 3, page 1130. There is no one righteous, not even one. Verse 11, there is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. There is no one who does good, not even one. The New Testament is affirming this very harsh but true spade is a spade diagnosis of humanity. Life without God as a fool is miserable, isn't it? Temptation to look at non-Christians with jealousy sometimes, isn't there? Because non-Christians, they're not bound by all of this stuff, living God's way somehow. But life without God as a fool is a miserable experience, isn't it? The list that we had read of what it's like. Finishing at verse 16, ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they don't know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If there's no fear of God, you can do what you like. But misery and ruin mark their ways. You reap what you sow. But that cry at the end of Psalm 14, oh, that salvation for Israel, salvation for God's people, would come out of Zion. So Romans 3, verse 22. How do we get righteousness? How do we become those who are God's people? This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, no difference between God's historic people and anybody else, because all walk away from God. The only way to receive righteousness from God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And the only way to receive faith is by his grace that he longs to give to those who do turn to him. How do we turn to God? Well, we ask him to have mercy on us. We ask him to give us that faith, that saving faith, by his grace. We ask to be included in Christ. Because, you see, all have turned away except for one. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, who died a sacrificial death, and he swapped the sin of all of those who trust in him for his righteousness. Salvation for God's people has come out of Zion. The Lord has restored his people. This is quite remarkable, isn't it? It's such a big turnaround. No one seeks God except those who cry out to him for mercy. And he is merciful and kind. Who ask him for the gift of faith to trust in the Lord Jesus. And he will give it. Who turn to him in true repentance and real faith. Who are restored and added to his people. That will be most of us gathered here today. Praise God. What a wonderful thing it is. Let us rejoice and be glad. Might be one or two who haven't done that yet. What does Psalm 14 say? Psalm 14 says, don't be a fool. Don't say there's no God. Romans says, there is a way. There is a way to back to God through faith in Christ, through faith in his death on the cross, which we'll be remembering around the Lord's table later on. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness and your kindness, that even though we were far away, even though we were not wanting to know you, even though we couldn't know you, you sent Jesus to us. You've given us him, you've given us your words, your written words, that we have your words amongst us and can know how to come to Jesus. Please help us to be the ones who do that and stay with him, come what may. Father, I pray for anybody who hasn't yet come to Jesus, who are here tonight. Please would tonight be the day that you give them wisdom in place of foolishness, just like you gave many of us wisdom in place of our foolishness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.